So Luke chapter 6, verse 46, right through to 7 in chapter 1. If you can recall last week, we saw two men come to Jesus with a desire, or so we could see from the outside looking in, with a desire to follow him. And it only seemed like one of the men had a heart's desire to put him first. Although they both desired to follow him for whatever their reasons, only one seemed to have a heart's desire to put him first, to leave everything and to follow Jesus. Remember, as the title gave us in the NIV, there's a cost to following Jesus. The heart then and its position was key to that account, as much as it is today for you and for me. The message hasn't changed. Jesus wants us to follow him, but we also have to be aware that there is a cost to following him. You see, he wants us to be action takers, to people who listen to the message, but then apply it to their lives. And we always have to have that, I think, at the front of our minds, to be a people that want to be action takers. What is the word saying today, and how is that relevant to me, and how can I apply it to my life? How can I step out of this building and make sure that I'm applying what the word teaches me? Or how can I step away from my personal study and step into a Monday morning applying what I've learned? That's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to hear it, yes, but he wants us to do. And James, as we know in chapter 1, tells us just that. Now, what we also have to remember, church, and I don't want to labour the point because I know you know, okay, that God wants what's best for us, but more than that, he knows what's best for us. How can you possibly know? Well, he made us. He created us. The psalmist records, he knows my inmost being. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He knows me completely, and still he loves me. Is that not the most incredible thing? He knows you completely, your inmost being, the word says, and still he loves you. Now, if you're a really good person, then you're thinking, well, of course he does. But if you're anything like me, you're like, wow. He knows our inmost being and still he loves us. So he knows what's best for us and he wants what's best for us. And as I've studied scripture over the years, I've found that actually we seem to be, from experience also, in quite safe hands. If ever there was I've sold that short. But we're in quite safe hands. And you have to discover that for yourself. That's not something that I can tell you and you go, oh yeah, well, that's what it... No, you have to experience that yourself. You have to try the Lord in these things. You have to walk with the Lord. You have to make sure and to see. And I'm pretty certain that over the years you'll come to the same conclusion, that we are in safe hands. And I think all of this is why Jesus took time to make sure that people were listening, that they weren't having a power nap, that they weren't just there because, well, there was free food. They weren't just there because it was something to do. There was not a lot on the TV. Honestly. There was no Netflix. I'm just dropping it out there. But people weren't just there. That's not what Jesus wanted, that people just arrived just because. But they came because they wanted something. They wanted to take something from his teaching. They wanted to learn something from his teaching. So when he spoke, he made sure that they were going to apply his teachings by the way that he worded what he said. He worded most of his teachings in such a way that those that were listening would hear, and those that weren't listening would be like, I'm not going back to that. I had no idea what he was on about. You with me? Like, those that were listening were like, wow, this guy is almost beyond my understanding. It's just incredible. But I'm going to go back tomorrow and I'm going to find wherever he's at because I want to hear more. And then there were others that went, I had no idea what he was saying, to be quite honest. So I'm going to come up with something called Netflix. Nobody's with me today. Come on, church, for goodness sake. So Jesus took time to make sure that people were listening, that people were going to go away and apply his teachings. And of course, we know that if people didn't apply what the Lord said, he was absolutely certain, and they would find out, that disaster lay not too far ahead. So let's have a read of Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through to 7 and verse 1. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" This is Jesus speaking. "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for the opportunity that we've got. Firstly, Lord, to read your word together, and Lord, to see what it's got to say to us. Father, it's a parable that we know well. But Lord, I pray that you would just speak into hearts this morning. Father, for those of us that know and love you, that Lord, we would see how best to apply ourselves, how best to apply your word to our lives. And Father, too, that if there's anybody in here that does not yet know you as their own personal Saviour, that this word, this parable, as your Son, the Lord Jesus, spoke all those years ago, would speak into hearts as it did then, and it would do that today. Father, we ask these prayers in through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So immediately then, after much teaching, and you only have to turn back the pages, Jesus has been teaching, people have been following, people have been listening, people have been hearing, some people have just been there. But after all of this, Jesus focuses around the people around about him and makes sure that they're really listening. He says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" in verse 46. He's gone through all that teaching, and now he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" We can only, I guess if we're painting the picture here, somebody's interjected. Somebody's asked the question and said, "Lord," and he knows the person's heart. "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" It's an absolute contradiction in terms, isn't it? You can't call somebody Lord of your life and not do what he says. That's just lip service, isn't it? I call you Lord, I call you Master, but to be honest, I do what I want. Because it's not Sunday. I mean, on a Sunday, for a good couple of hours, I'll stick to what the word says. But Monday morning, you know what it's like. You see, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" Well, if we were to answer honestly in that moment, we'd go, "Well, it's easier." Oh, nobody thought I'd say that from the front. But isn't that the truth? Lord, I would do what you say, but it is Monday morning, and I've got a lot on. And in reality, if we're not careful, we become this person. Why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Remember, as we've already said, that Jesus knows, that the Lord knows what's best for us. And he knows that what he's bringing is of benefit and of value to us. He doesn't bring us teaching that's not going to help us. He brings us teaching that's going to help us. He brings us benefit and value. But I guess then we have to decide, where do we receive our value? Where do we receive that from? Are we looking in other places to find value and benefit? Or are we listening to what the word says, to what Jesus is saying here? He knows what's best, and what he says will bring benefit and value if we listen. And we do. So calling him Lord and not adhering to him is just a contradiction. If he's your Lord, then you do. Surely. In fact, Jesus goes on to show the crowd, and us of course today, what it means moving forward. As he tells us an account or a story, a parable of a wise and a foolish builder. And just to make it really simple for us, one dug down deep, found the bedrock, and laid a foundation upon it. And Jesus calls that man a wise builder. I won't have a raise of hands of who wants to be a wise builder, but a show of hands of who wants to be a foolish builder. Interesting. See, we all want to be considered a wise builder, don't we? Nobody wants to be a fool. And this is what the fool does. One dug down, one laid a foundation on the bedrock, while the other, well, just put up a house without any thought, without any foundation. And of course, Jesus refers to them as the foolish builder. Now, what we have to understand from this account is both had heard, because both built a house. Do you see that? That's easy to miss, isn't it? But both obviously heard, and both obviously built a house. But only one had listened and had done what Jesus had said. Only one had made sure that their foundation had been dug down to the bedrock, that they were building on something solid and sure and certain. While the other, well, to you and me, it looked like a house. In fact, on the outside, there was nothing to separate them. They both had a nice roof. They both had four windows on the front, four on the back, and a nice door in the middle. You know how you used to draw them as kids. Chimney on the left or the right, depending which handed you are, usually. Little swirl of smoke. You can picture it. They look the same. Yet one is fundamentally flawed. One is without substance. One is completely and utterly without foundation. So that means that only one stood when the storm came. And make no mistake about it, the storm will always come. And the other, well, it was washed away. One stood firm and one was washed away. You see what Jesus is saying to us even today, that we have to make sure that we are listening. We have to make sure too that we are taking action. Not just listening and going, here's a beautiful house. I didn't go off plan, but it looks all right. And I would look at it and go, oh, it looks okay. I like it. But Jesus is saying to us that we need to dig deep. We need to be rooted on the solid rock. We're laying a solid foundation so that we're ready for the storm when it comes. And come it will. So that we're ready to stand when the disappointments arrive. When the heartache and the pain arrives. We live in a fallen, broken world. You only have to switch the news on for less than 20 seconds in most cases. We have to be ready to stand too when the enemy launches an attack. We may need to make sure that we're listening and applying, that we're learning and we're growing, not just in this corporate setting or the Bible study on a Wednesday night, but more than that. That we're looking into the Word, that we're studying the Word, that we're praying to our Lord, that we're spending time in worship with Him, that we're filling our lives with things that stir our affection for Jesus. And then if we do that, the Bible tells us, as we're seeing here, that we are laying a foundation that is built on the solid rock that is Christ. We're building a foundation that won't be shaken. We're building a foundation that is solid and firm. And we know then that our hope is secure, that we're moving forward then, and we're growing, and we're eager to learn. The other way, only leads to disaster. Because I never applied, I never searched, I didn't gain an understanding, or I didn't have a desire to go any deeper than surface level. I didn't have a desire to go any deeper than surface level. So no foundation was dug. And when the storm arrives, the house falls flat. And in 7 chapter 1, Jesus says, when he had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum, or as the writer records for us, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. The two ways, church, are really clear. There's a wise builder and there's a foolish builder. Both have a house, but only one will last. We can imagine that they both looked equally lovely. We probably couldn't tell them apart. But rest assured, the storm could. Let's pray. Lord, we again this morning just want to thank you for your word and Father for its challenge to our hearts. And I pray, Lord God, that we have been not just listeners this morning, but Father, action takers. That we would be ready to apply what your teaching says. We'd be ready to look further, to dig deeper, to search your word. So that when the storm comes, Lord, that we're ready to stand. And we live in a fallen and troubled world. And Father, we're called to be salt and light. And we can only be that if we know what salt and light are. We can only be that if we are searching your word, studying your word, knowing and adhering what your word says in our hearts. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be a church that longs to search after you, that longs to grow, that longs to know more, so that when the storm arrives, Lord, and arrive it will, that we would be ready and we would stand firm, and our testimony would be that our God is bigger than anything else around us. He is able and he is in control. So, Lord, we pray that you would just part us with your blessing. Father, as we continue in our worship now, that you would just have your hand upon us. We lift high the name of Jesus. Bless us, we pray. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.